just change my ways. Change my ways. Those evil ways. So I set out across that way to strike them down, to make them pay and change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't hide.
Whoa, welcome back. Top of the third hour. Top of the third hour this Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, welcome. So I think that it's probably going to be a week where we focus on the legacy of George Herbert Walker Bush, particularly for two reasons. One, there seems to be a very dishonest recollection in the general public, but that's not as much of that's not a concern all by itself. I think what is the larger concern is, as I've tried to point out today and even yesterday, it's the masterful way that George Herbert Walker Bush was able to sort of craft a narrative and a legacy that leaves him largely distanced from his crimes that are numerous, perhaps even innumerable and well documented. You know, eugenics, there's a reason I mentioned yesterday, there's a reason that one of his nicknames was Rubbers. You know, he has his family has a pedigree of eugenics. And, you know, for that matter, it gets back to that. That is a short trip back to the death cult ideology discussion, Skull and Bones, the Thule Society, and on and on. I won't get into that today. But, you know, then there was, you know, again, yesterday, Mehdi Hasan was on Democracy Now! And again, Democracy Now! I think has been doing a fairly unvarnished historical depiction of George Herbert Walker Bush, which I think is fairly courageous, quite frankly, especially, you know, in the face of a a public opinion that is largely sanitized and whitewashed by self-censoring in a politically correct culture that is not correct. But, you know, some of the videos, again, I mentioned yesterday, Mehdi Hasan on George H.W. Bush's ignored legacy, war crimes, racism, and obstruction of justice. But again, I think that and Mehdi Hasan's article over at The Intercept almost trivialize these issues. That's the danger, I think. This is, you know, hopefully the, you know, there won't be an SNL satire. There probably will be, because then, you know, it'll be trivialized even more. There's nothing funny. There's nothing laughable about any of this. So there's that piece. Others that Democracy Now! Has done, you can find these all on YouTube. Remembering George H.W. Bush's inaction on AIDS at home while detaining HIV-positive Haitians at Guantanamo. And then earlier today, they're just continuing on. Greg Grand and George H.W. Bush's 1989 invasion of Panama set the stage for U.S. wars to come. There are these places, again, you know, same kind of thing. You know, all those years there was, you know, Panama and Grenada and the Balkans and, you know, again, Iran, Iraq, Nicaragua, the Iran-Contra nonsense that folks, you know, have noted, that obviously that moniker really trivializes what was happening. Just astonishing, you know? Does the CIA run drugs? I don't know. Who else crashes a plane with 4 tons of cocaine on it? Tons. Do you think that the cartels of the world have anything on the government cartel? So continuing on the segments over at Democracy Now, that Democracy Now! Is running, Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, U.S. owes reparations to Panama over Bush's invasion. And, you know, it would be interesting. The world, basically the United States military-industrial complex, or as I like to think of it, as it was referred to in the National Security Act of 1947, the National Military Establishment, the NME. I think we should go back to that. The military-industrial complex is a more sexy moniker. I think we should get rid of that. It should be the enemy, because it is the enemy. And James Madison was right in his warning, and he wasn't alone. So continuing, you know, and the point is, speaking of this clip, you know, it falls on deaf ears, I think. Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, U.S. owes reparations to Panama over Bush's invasion. What if the world decided, yeah, you know what, it's about time, pay up. Because this NME, this National Military Establishment, which really, you know, isn't national anymore. Isn't it interesting how what started as the CIA, the OSS CIA, that was predicated on the recruitment of financial types, sort of grew out into this outgrowth of, you know, fascism. You know, it's a private enterprise that operates in direct conjunction with the State Department, DOD, et al. You know, again, that just reminds me of those reticulated jaw sets that just keep coming out and coming out. Should make another one. And you know what? It's more virulent. It's more streamlined in lean startup fashion, and just one more degree separated from the American public, accountability, oversight, all that kind of stuff. So it operates with impunity, so it sort of falls on deaf ears. Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, U.S. owes reparations to Panama over Bush's invasion. But what if the world decided, you know what, it's about time? But who's, you know, who can oppose the beast? Who can make war with the beast? Who can oppose a $1 trillion a year military-industrial complex? And that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of the private stuff and the black budget stuff and on and on. Anyway, so continuing, it's at Democracy Now! On YouTube anyway, it's pretty much exclusive coverage of the crimes of George Herbert Walker Bush. So the next video, how George H.W. Bush's pardons for Iran-Contra conspirators set the stage for Trump's impunity. And that's a whole sub-story. All of these things are just – you could go off on any one of these tangents. You know, the pardons, there is a great deal of – you know, and when are we just going to be honest about the fact that even, where is that? Somewhere on Wikipedia, I forget where, because so the pardons, maybe it's here. George Herbert Walker Bush, Wikipedia, pardons in keeping with tradition. Oh, yeah, keeping with tradition. Bush issued a series of pardons during his last days in office, December 24. 1992, he granted executive clemency for 6 former government employees implicated in the Iran-Contra scandal of the late 1980s, most prominently former Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger. Bush described Weinberger, who was scheduled to stand trial January 5th, 1993 for crimes charged related to Iran-Contra as a quote-unquote true patriot. Naturally. Why? Because, you know, he didn't snitch on his buddies. You know? So they got pardons. Guys, hold your mud. Have we read what independent counsel, the OIC, Lawrence Walsh, wrote? I think I'll come back to that here in a second. It's right from the opening. Chapter 28 was George Bush, right? In addition to Weinberger, Bush pardoned Dwayne Claridge, Claire George, Robert McFarlane, Elliot Abrams, and Alan Fears, all of whom had been indicted and or convicted of criminal charges by independent counsel headed by Lawrence Walsh. Where is the entry? Is it Iran-Contra? Or is it the drug laundering? I'll find that. The Wikipedia entry, I think it was Iran-Contra affair, I want to say. And then there's the Wikipedia entry for, CIA drug running allegations. It's just ridiculous. Obviously, somebody's messing around with the Wikipedia entries. So I'm going to have to find that. Yeah, indictments. So Iran-Contra affair indictments is an interesting section. I think this might be it. So from the Wikipedia entry on Iran-Contra affair indictments. So the indictments, Caspar Weinberger, and you go down the list and you have the pardons from George W. Bush. Caspar Weinberger, Secretary of Defense, was indicted on 2 counts of perjury and 1 count of obstruction of justice, June 16, 1992. Weinberger received a pardon from George Herbert Walker Bush, December 24, 1992, before he was tried. Merry Christmas. And the point I want to come back around to before I forget is, you know, people say, oh, he was just, you know, what a nice guy. The point has been made that, and it just, again, it's one of those facts of history that just keeps falling out of consciousness. Bush pardoned Caspar Weinberger in particular because, and by the way, his notebooks were never turned over. Even, where is that soundbite? That's in Wikipedia somewhere. So yeah, here it is. George H.W. Bush denial during his election campaign in 1988. This is Wikipedia, for Pete's sake. Vice President Bush denied any knowledge of Iran-Contra affair by saying he was quote unquote out of the loop. Pinocchio, your nose just grew about 10 feet. Out of the loop. You know, like I was talking to Glenn in Philly yesterday, and I want to circle back around to something, speaking of culpability and plausible deniability, from, you know, the Wikipedia entry for Harbinger Group, HRG Group. This stuff is, it's public knowledge, even in the controlled, whitewashed, sanitized little, you know, kiddie pool of information and history at Wikipedia. It's there. So George, this again, Iran-Contra affair, Wikipedia entry, George H.W. Bush denial section. During his election campaign in 1988, Vice President Bush denied any knowledge of the Iran-Contra affair by saying he was quote unquote out of the loop. Though his diaries, this is the next sentence, listen to this, again, Wikipedia, though his diaries included that he was, quote, one of the few people that know fully the details, end quote. He repeatedly refused to discuss the incident and won the election. And so backing up to Caspar Weinberger, this comes down to the wire and the, you know, basically the reason that Caspar Weinberger was pardoned was because to not pardon Caspar Weinberger would have essentially forced George Bush's, Herbert Walker Bush's own testimony. Ooh, that'd be awkward. His diary included that he was one of the few people that know fully the details. This guy, talk about a masterful liar. Yeah, I was out of the loop, even though he's one of the few people that know fully the details. I might as well go back to HRG Group real quick. So we're talking about, you know, there's the memo that J. Edgar Hoover writes himself. What was it, November 29? I want to say 1963. Just days, a week, basically, after JFK is assassinated. And A. George Bush provides information to the FBI. George Bush says later, you know, that was a different George Bush at the CIA. And besides, I wasn't with the CIA then, and I don't remember where I was. November 22nd, 1963. I don't remember where I was. How convenient. So here, another Wikipedia entry, HRG Group. Wikipedia entry, HRG Group, formerly Harbinger Group. Who names a company that? And Zapata Corporation, which is interesting. That's an interesting Emiliano Zapata history. Why? Is a holding company based in Rochester, New York, having originated from an oil company started by a group including future President George Herbert Walker Bush. In 2009, it was renamed the Harbinger Group. I don't know about you, but I mean, if I named something the Harbinger Group, I would think that most people would consider it a pejorative. It seems like an ominous foreboding, no? So from the Wikipedia entry, right at the beginning, early business history, the company traces its origins to Zapata Petroleum Corporation, founded in 1953 by future U.S. President George Herbert Walker Bush, along with his business partners. Listen carefully to this weird language. His business partners, John Overby, Hugh Leidke, Bill Leidke, and Thomas J. Devane. Overby was a landman, quote-unquote, skilled in scouting oil fields and obtaining drilling rights cheaply. Bush and Thomas J. Devane were oil wildcatting associates. Thomas J. Devane. So you get, you know, you'll see. I won't let on yet. So their joint activities culminated in the establishment of Zapata Oil. The company was named for Viva Zapata, a 1952 biographical film starring Marlon Brando as Mexican revolutionary Emiliano Zapata. The initial $1 million investment for Zapata was provided by the Leidke brothers and their circle of investors, by Bush's father, Prescott Bush. How convenient. When was this? Founded in 1953. Again, you know, you back up a little bit. You have Dresser Industries and, again, Darwin Payne, Initiative and Energy. No one's ever heard of Skull and Bones. But here are four guys from Skull and Bones right here. Darwin, how did you know that? So the initial $1 million investment in 1953 provided by the Leidke brothers and their circle of investors, wink, wink, by Bush's father, Prescott Bush, and his maternal grandfather, George Herbert Walker, and their family's circle of friends, which is a fun little Wikipedia link there. The Bush family, connection to other prominent families. Indeed, Hugh Leidke was named president. Bush was vice president. Overby soon left. But here's where it gets interesting. Well, I'll mention that on the other side of the break, and then we'll go to the phone. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Wrapping up and then to the phones. So HRG Group, Wikipedia. George Herbert Walker Bush's exploits and, you know, plausible deniability. So again, from a Wikipedia entry, according to a CIA internal memo, where did that come from? Isn't that just a weird sort of out of the blue soundbite? According to a CIA internal memo, dated November 29, 1975. When does that happen? You're looking at, here's a company that was started, you're reading, and then you stumble onto this line. According to a CIA internal memo. A what? Where did that come from? Was there a FOIA request? Where did this come from? See what I'm saying? It's very, very peculiar. According to the CIA internal memo, and this is Wikipedia, dated November 29, 1975. You know, this isn't news by 1975. Zapata Petroleum began in 1953 through Bush's joint efforts with Thomas J. Devine, a CIA staffer who had resigned his agency position that same year to go into private business, but who continued to work for the CIA under commercial cover. And this is, you know, again, that's fairly standard operating procedure by that time and since then. So getting back to the conversation that I had with Glenn and Philly yesterday, I mean, this is sort of the operative concept in my mind, which I didn't really fully articulate then, but this is kind of what I think. You know, I mean, even on Wikipedia, it states that, you know, Zapata Petroleum began in 1953 through Bush's joint efforts with Thomas J. Devine, a CIA staffer who had resigned his agency position that same year to go into private business, but who continued to work for the CIA under commercial cover. That was 1953. When was the CIA founded? Devine would later accompany Bush to Vietnam in late 67 as a quote-unquote cleared and witting commercial asset of the agency, acted as his own informal foreign affairs advisor, and had a close relationship with him through 1975. Do you see how kind of right there in that couple of sentences, you have all of the pieces coming together for, well, at least three decades, basically. Certainly two. It's just, you know, so what makes us believe for a second that George Bush wasn't a CIA staffer at the time who had resigned his agency position that same year to go into private business, but who continued to work for the CIA under commercial cover? What would lead us to believe otherwise? What evidence is there to the contrary? And so when we get to 1963, November 22nd, 23rd, November 29th, when J. Edgar Hoover authors a memo, information provided to us by George Bush. Ah, must have been another George Bush. I don't remember where I was. I don't really have any knowledge of the, you know, in spite of the fact that his personal journal may tell us otherwise. You know, pardons Caspar Weinberger. Couple less than 2 weeks before Weinberger's testimony. Why? Days before. Because it would beg his own testimony were Weinberger to testify. And so everybody gets off scot-free. Where is the joke? I need to conclude with that, and then we'll go to the phones. Speaking of Iran-Contra. So, Poindexter. In Poindexter's hometown of Odin, Indiana, a street was renamed John Poindexter Street. Bill Breeden, a former minister, stole the street's sign in protest of the Iran-Contra affair. He claimed that he was holding the sign ransom for $30 million in reference to the amount of money given to Iran to transfer to the Contras. He was later arrested and confined to prison, making him, as satirically noted by Howard Zinn, the only person to be imprisoned as a result of the Iran-Contra scandal. Largely compliments of George Herbert Walker Bush and his pardons. Go to the phones right after this break.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers providing forensic mortgage.
Of state and who's who in the zoo. I don't think that Richard Nixon really knew. I think he fancied himself a lot more powerful than he actually was. Anyway, to the phones we go. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, I appreciate it, Chris. You know, what comes to mind is back in, well, we know that Yale, it was Magog. What comes comes to mind is all of the churches around this country that are going to be flying their flag that has staff. They're going to be, because of their ignorance, their lack of knowledge of what was really going on, they're going to be mourning. And what's even worse, you know, I'm looking at this in several different ways. Can you imagine how hard it would be, the curse that would be on a grandchild or a child or a great-grandchild being basically, you don't have a choice of who your parents are. Can you imagine, Chris, being born into that family?
Yeah. You know,
and the last words of George Bush, according to the papers, were to his son, George, "I love you too." Now, we know that that's possible. They may not care a whit for you or me or anyone else, but they love their own. So that natural God-given love is still there. They have just earned it and cauterized it and put themselves, just like the little clip that you played there, hey, you just have to give the apartment, you still get the limousine.
Yeah, you're going to have to be a lot more devious, but you're good at that, right?
You're good at that, aren't you? Yeah, you're good at that, aren't you? And we have
more than you know, Mr. Nixon.
Yeah.
I haven't even gotten into the HRG. I mean, Wikipedia. I'm telling you, it's just, you look at the Wikipedia entry, you know. Bush set up operations also in the Gulf of Mexico, the Persian Gulf, Trinidad, Borneo, and Medellin, Colombia. Oh, that's and the Kuwait Shell Petroleum Development Company, the Kuwait Shell Petroleum. What happened in Kuwait on George H.W. Bush's watch? And you skip forward during the Bay of Pigs invasion and the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Plant drilling into his oil well.
Right,
they
right. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oil.
Right. During the Bay of Pigs invasion and the Cuba Missile Crisis, Zapata allowed its oil rigs to be used as listening posts. This is the Wikipedia entry, folks. In 1988, Barron's said Zapata was, quote, a part-time purchasing front for the CIA, end quote. How does this guy sidestep accountability, I ask rhetorically. And then there's the Dresser, and that's Dresser Industries. History is in the HRG group history as
that's
well.
So
I mean, it's
deep.
It's astonishing.
Dresser is amazing. That goes way back.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You said something, you know, he had one of the guys who came to work for him was a CIA agent who resigned and was
Thomas J. DeVine.
Still working for him. Right. And still working for him in the private sector. Here's a question that begs an answer. Okay. Do we now, or have we had any sitting president of the United States that was an active CIA agent, and literally a plant? And I would say to you, look, I've said it before, you do not get to the CEO of the largest, most deadly corporation on earth and be a good guy. It cannot happen. And if it happens by a fluke, you get a bullet, Mr. McKinley. You get an attempt, and I'm no fan of Reagan, but you get an attempt because Reagan got his head straight after he was shot at. You know, you got a bullet in the head, Mr. Kennedy, and how many other times? It's just an amazing thing. And then his son comes along, and in 2008, I think it was, gets the Bush scroll where Chris, what Christian would say, even if you're in Yale, even if you're in this fraternity that you get sucked into, giving him the benefit of the doubt, which is crazy to even do, not to know who the bonesmen were. And they say, well, what are we going to call you, Georgie boy? And he says, well, I kind of like Magog. And then his son gets a scroll from the Temple Institute written on lambskin. People don't understand this, Chris. That declares him to be the chief prince of Magog, and it's heralding him from the Temple Institute, from the Sanhedrin, all the rest of that. So I'll leave it at that. I am so happy that I'm not that man's judge. But I guarantee, I can't say I guarantee it. I do not believe right now that he's a very happy camper. And that, for that, even though I didn't care for him, that breaks my heart, man. To think yeah. that if where he is at, if he is there, I hurt for him. I really do. And his grandkids that have no idea, you know, the little infants that are being born in the Bush clan that have no idea. They need a way out. Anyway,
yeah.
I'll leave it at that. Thanks,
John. As always, it is interesting. You know, you look at what happened. I mean, the assassinations of Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, and Kennedy all seem to revolve around the issue of the money power. And, you know, other plots, Andrew Jackson's, I mean, there was more than one, but there was the big one, you know, the two pistols that misfired at point blank range. But, you know, looking from the 20th century forward, looking from particularly the post Federal Reserve era, you know, it seems especially in the post CIA years that just about every president has some kind of it's sort of a ritual hazing. It's like an initiation rite or something ceremonial. You know, say from, I mean, there was, you know, Roosevelt and Truman, but I mean, from Kennedy forward. So Kennedy, you know, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, George Herbert Walker Bush, allegedly Bill Clinton, W. Barack Obama, Donald Trump, all of them had, there were alleged assassination plots. And so, you know, you kind of think of that routine that Bill Hicks did about, you know, after what was it he said? I think election or inauguration. I think basically president is invited into a room in the White House no one knows about. And there's a private screening of the Kennedy assassination. But instead of the Zapruder footage, it's footage from a different vantage point. And so then, you know, the lights come back up. Any questions? Nope. Just what do we do next? It's kind of, you know, that kind of thing almost. You get the idea. Of that. Anyway, back to the phones. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. You know, I thought they outdid themselves with the whitewash of McCain. I tell you what, with this Bush thing, there's not a drop of white paint left in the country. I mean,
yeah,
who would have thought?
That's a good way to put it, actually, I think.
They could have gone any farther than they did with McCain. Oh, but they managed. You know, so it's really, oh, God, I can hardly watch it. I saw them on ABC, and I'm going, God, if ABC's this bad, what must Fox be like? I said, oh, I don't think I can even check that. That's
well,
going to really be off the charts.
When Cenk Uygur is extolling the virtues of HW, I was astonished when he did that Saturday.
Well, I heard Jimmy Dore. Let me tell you, I listened to Jimmy Dore on their live show they do on Saturday. Oh, they did not. They ripped him to pieces. Yeah. So see, Dore and Cenk differ on some things. They fight about some stuff. But on Jimmy Dore, they did not cut him any slack. And you know, they're even reminding me of stuff that I had forgotten. You know, this thing has been, like I say, because I can't listen to all that, like I say, but I've gone on, you know, listening to Jimmy Dore, and then you're reviewing some stuff, and then I've been going on, like, YouTube, and I've been watching some old Smedley Butler stuff and stuff like that, you know. But the thing is, this is what I'm hoping people take out of this. But, you know, some of the people that do realize all this lying is going on, this is not new. This has been going on since the beginning of our country. I remember being taught as a child that the story about George Washington chopping down the cherry tree, I was taught that as historical fact. Only right. to find out a Christian minister created it later. And then there's the part, you know, this country is built on, like, rationalization. I'll give you an example. When, the pilgrims or whatever came here, I remember hearing one thing, they felt like, when the Indians started catching all kind of diseases and dying out, they thought, this is a sign from divine providence that we're
never
supposed
mind the smallpox
to have this
blankets,
land.
Right?
Well, how convenient when God does your killing for you, huh? I mean, you know, what kind of mental gymnastics do people do? And this has been going on since the beginning. So it's no wonder people can't think.
Well,
none of us.
You know, like you said,
we've been raised
like
on this.
Like you said about the... you know, the story about George Washington that was cooked up. You know, people in the same fashion that again, this is why I think Nesta Webster put it best in World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, that operative quote, you know, that concept that to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them from seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. And that's precisely what these people do. That's what, you know, the Rockefeller created and controlled Board of Education relies on, the fact that you keep these people dumbed down and naive enough that you can basically prey upon them and, you know, really not even metaphorically.
Yeah, P-R-E-Y, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y.
Yeah, so it's that, again, you know, that sentiment that Jefferson expressed, the general diffusion of knowledge, helping people get knowledged up. And, you know, the reason that I didn't let this go today and probably won't for the rest of the week is because of what you're saying. I thought that surely in the public consciousness we have a better recollection of the crimes of Bush. I mean, I think we rehashed a lot of that pretty well right in the immediate wake of the post 9/11 era, I suppose, or in the immediate wake of September 11, 2001. I think, especially because of what was happening, you know, Bush 2, and because we were closer to Bush 1, everybody was sort of more familiar, I think. But this, you know, it reminds me of how dishonest we were about W in reflection recently. Oh, he's just a good guy. You know, he's just a whatever. And now the same thing is happening with his father. It's just – it's astonishing how we are completely – you know, I think you're right. The best way to put it is there's not a drop of white paint left in the country.
I really don't think listen, they're having to tanker it in. You know, we're completely, anybody looking for paint for their house, well, you're poop out of luck for a few weeks, okay, because it's gone. You know, it's unbelievable. You have to have a sense of humor to keep from wanting to, you know, like walk in front of a truck, you know, because it's just so crazy. But then, like I say, you know, it's been going on for so long. I mean, look
right.
what they pulled up when Smedley
right.
Butler testified and said blatantly about that fascist coup. And then
family goes back to those days. And it has been an uninterrupted cabal ever since.
Yeah, because like I said, I mean, when you read that, you see, and I think that's almost why some people, when you try to teach them this stuff, if you have some Fox friends, you know, they look at you like you're nuts, okay? Because it's almost unfathomable that they tried
how dare you besmirch this man's legacy?
Coup,
well,
and then it was
I'm not trying to besmirch his legacy. I'm trying to be honest about it.
What's that?
I said, you know, they'll say, those Fox friends, you know, will say, how dare you besmirch this great man's legacy? And I would say, I'm not trying to besmirch it. I'm trying to be honest about it. I'm trying to give an accurate portrayal of his legacy. Let's not.
They can't handle it. I'm sure you've run into these obstacles also.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. And see, the thing is, you know, this, oh, no, don't speak ill of the dead. It's like, how come when people, it's like, in many ways, that's what allows all this evil to continue, all this not telling the truth. Just because somebody's dead, you can't tell the truth.
And Amy Goodman and Mehdi Hasan addressed that yesterday. And Mehdi Hasan said, we're not speaking ill of the dead. We're just remembering. We're just recounting a president's legacy. That's what we're doing. Let's look back and be honest about that. And I would say not just the president's. I'm reflecting on this other stuff. And it should have been obvious all along. I think the signs were there. But most of the American public was largely trusting, largely naive and unwitting. We're not supposed to be. Jefferson admonished us not to be. Andrew Jackson in his farewell address and others. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Spiders.
beyond the sun. Welcome back. Final segment of today's broadcast. And, you know, maybe I'll come back to this tomorrow. The sentiments have been expressed. Jefferson, Jackson, you know, H.L. Mencken, Milton Mayer, they thought they were free. You can see a progression. We took our eye off the ball. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and we must pay the price if we wish to secure the blessing. Jackson warned us, it behooves you, therefore, he said, to be watchful in your states as well as in the federal government. There are sound bites, but, you know, one of the most effective ways to lull people to sleep is a false sense of security on a false sense of prosperity, and it seems we went to sleep. Anyway, we need to go back to the phones in the remaining moments. Renee, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I think you're right. Not a drop of white paint left in the, you know, from coast to coast for how long, who knows. Back to the phones. Jenna in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, hi. I just wanted to...
Hey, Jenna.
Good morning. I really liked, I think it was John's comment on the ancestry of the evildoers, and I actually worked on an organic blueberry farm in Eugene from an ancestor of Dow Chemicals that, you know, he turned it around because he felt grief for what his grandfather had done to the world. And in terms of soils and the farming reality, I had just watched the Biosludge documentary by Mike Adams and reference to Washington agriculturists being subsidized with biosludge and all the chemicals that the EPA is passing. It wasn't very pleasant. But on another note, on Yahoo News feed just today, there was a post about SRM management and a release of all of these links of groups that are related, that all the three-letter acronyms, like all of this information on a Yahoo News feed, I just thought, isn't that telling that now all of these ideas of what they're doing to our stratosphere and the climate engineering is trickling out on these mainstream news feeds. And the communitarian buzzwords, all of the working groups' names, what they're doing, what they're proposing, that we know they've been already employing for decades, is, yeah, I was really surprised, and I wanted to share that. I put the link in the chat, as long as also with the documentary, Biosludge, by Mike
Very
Adams.
Cool.
It's well done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is astonishing. That. And, you know, again, I mean, this is something that the Arnold J. Toynbees of the world bragged about. They smith their talking points, and in Fabian socialist fashion, at the right time, they strike, and they strike definitively and hard. And they, like Jenna said, you know, they just tell us this is what we've already set up or been doing already anyway, but now we're going to make it public knowledge. And again,
right.
It all comes back, in my opinion, to virtue, morality, and religion. Character is the issue. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Thanks, Jenna. Fred, sorry we missed you. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.